It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the book of Ephesians concludes with Paul's benediction, and we're reading in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 6. Paul concludes with peace and grace in these two verses. Notice Ephesians 6:23. It says, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He's praying a blessing upon the people at Ephesus. Peace to the brethren, he says. Well, the members of the church at Ephesus had a spiritual relation to each other, in that they were brothers and sisters in Christ, just as you and I are members of God's church today. And let me add, I believe that God's church is visible, and that visibility takes place in a local church, just as Paul was writing to a local church at Ephesus here that we've been studying in the book of Ephesians. Well, Paul wanted the best for the church at Ephesus, not only in spiritual matters, but I believe in outward prosperity, including as well the inward eternal peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, Paul also wrote to the Philippian church about peace, as we have read in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Let's read that again. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Well, notice Paul continues on by saying, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In his benediction, or in other words, the blessing to the church at Ephesus, Paul wants the people to know that he loves them in the Lord. His love is a love of faith that comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Paul not only wants the church to know of his love for them, he also wants them to know the God of heaven and his Son Jesus Christ loves them as well. Paul had earlier said in Ephesians that he was thankful for their faith in Jesus, as well as their love for all saints. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What Paul's giving here is he's thanking these people for staying faithful to the Lord. Paul's commendation of their faithfulness produced thankfulness in the heart of Paul, and he wanted the church to know he prayed for them. Faith and love go together. Faith works by love, and love discovers faith. Both are imperfect without their increase by God the Father. Love and faith can grow cold, and sometimes will need an increase from God the Father, who is the God of all grace, and from Jesus Christ, in whom all fullness of grace consists. Well, I believe Paul is here expressing his great love and affection, not only for God, but also for the brethren. Now notice verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 6. "Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." That's to us, all of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. He says, amen. And then the verse continues by saying, "Written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus." We've heard that name before. Well, Paul says, "Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ." Here in his benediction, Paul is praying that the grace of God would be not only to the church, the people at Ephesus, of the Ephesians church, but also that God's grace would rest upon all those individuals who love the Lord. And again, we are reading how the Word of God and God's love is not only for a select few, but it's for the many. Christ is to be the object of our love. He is to be loved because He is the Savior. He is to be loved because of His marvelous works. 1 Chronicles 16:12 says, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth." 1 Chronicles 16:24, it says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations." And then Psalm 98:1 says, a psalm, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." And then Psalm 139:14, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Well, the love we have for God could never measure up to the love God has for us. I often pray, "Lord, Your love for me is so great. I cannot love You as much as You love me, but Lord, I will love You as much as I can until I am able to love You more in person." Well, the songwriter Frederick M. Lehman wrote a song about how great God's love is. It goes like this, and I'm not going to sing, so don't turn it off. I'm not going to sing, okay? But the song goes like this: "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, we are every stalk on earth, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And then the song, the chorus says, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints' and angels' song." We need to love God as much as we can now in this flesh while we're here. And one day we're going to be able to love Him to the fullest because we'll be with Him. Well, the song Frederick M. Lehman wrote about God's love is a good song. But no matter how much we try to describe the love of God, we fall short. We, I believe, will not fully comprehend the full measure of God's love until we are able to see Him face to face. Bear with me if I go just a little further with another song by Carrie E. Brecht that says, "Face to face with Christ my Savior." Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me? Only faintly now I see Him with the darkened veil between, but a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face we see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ who loves me so. And then the chorus says, "Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all His glory. I shall see Him by and by." Even as we sang of the wondrous love of Jesus, the words could never express just how great His love is for us. We love Jesus as much as we can now, and this love we have for Christ will abide forever and grow stronger because we have eternal life. Again, Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. In sincerity. Paul is praying for the grace of God to be with each one who loves the Lord from the heart, with all the heart, without hypocrisy, no pretense, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. If I could take some liberty here and say, I believe we as the people of God, His church, should be praying for a revival within ourselves. A revival not for the next person, but I should pray for myself to have a revival of love for my Lord. We need to get serious with God and be sincere in order for the grace, the fire of God that burns within, to fall upon us. I believe this was Paul's desire for the church at Ephesus. Paul, I believe, wanted the love the church at Ephesus had for the Lord to be sincere, growing within, growing stronger every day. Well, Paul concludes by saying this, Amen. It is so. In saying amen, I believe what Paul is saying is this, what I have written is true. I believe, as I look at this, I believe his amen reminds us that Paul has dictated what God wants and has said, and that this is the end of the epistle, the end of what he has to say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Ephesians. Let me remind you once again that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Not only the book of Ephesians, but all of the Bible is God-breathed. It's what God wants us to have. It's his word. It's his love letter to the people of this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, never ending, because we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Now, who was the one who penned down the words of the apostle here in Ephesians? The Bible says, written from Rome to the Ephesians by whom? Tychicus. Remember him? Tychicus. He was not only the one who wrote down the words of Paul in the epistle to the Ephesians, he was also the one who would deliver the letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 21 and 22 says, But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. And we are told here that Paul was in Rome when the epistle was penned down by Tychicus. Tychicus, a beloved brother, a person who not only was there going to Ephesus, he was the one who was with Paul the Apostle. Can you imagine even meeting Paul the Apostle? Tychicus was the one who had the privilege of pinning down what God wanted the people at Ephesus to see and hear. Tychicus was the one who was going to deliver this. He was not only the one who had pinned it down, what God wanted these people to have. He was the one who was going to deliver it. He was a personal witness to what God wanted them to have. And I pray that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that you've received what he wants you to have, and that is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. He came, he gave his life for all of us, that we could be saved and on our way to heaven. As a saved person, are you living for him? Are you doing what you need to be doing for the Lord? Do you love him like you should? Oh, we need to love him more. Well, we love him as much as we can now, but one day we're going to love him even more, because we're going to see him face to face. Serve the Lord today. Let Jesus Christ lead and guide your life. And as we leave this book of Ephesians, it is not left us, because we still have it. It is the Word of God. Keep studying the Word of God and let God lead you and guide you in this life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.